RCR with Paul Brennan.
This is from our RCR Bites News, Tuesday, 4th of March. It was the lead story, actually. Despite voters electing a coalition government to push back against wokeness, the ideology is rolling out across the public sector, professional bodies, and into wider society. And we quoted Family First's Bob McCoskrie, who said schools are still being instructed to keep students' preferred names, pronouns, and genders secret from parents, and that the government listens to radical rainbow charity Inside Out. And some of you might have seen the email from a childcare reliever. She wrote it to the Prime Minister, expressing concerns about Inside Out. A spokesperson for Luxon said he was a proud supporter of the LGBTQI+ community. Bob is with us. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Okay, so the train keeps rolling.
Yeah, I think that's a disappointment because leading up to the election, we were told that people had seen how extreme the relationship sexuality education curriculum was. Erica Stanford said that, you know, parents had expressed concern about the gender ideology that was being pushed. But as we know, relationship sexuality education curriculum has been kind of withdrawn, but nothing has been put in its place. So a lot of schools, the more radical schools, are simply continuing on as where they were before the change of government. But I actually was alerted to the fact that on the, and it was a principal, concerned principal, who contacted me to say that the latest advice going out to schools in terms of reporting to parents and whānau, which is on the Ministry of Education website, and I checked the date of the last publication, it was last year, so this is not sort of, you know, 2019, they can't say this is historical, but it says under names, pronouns, and gender markers, quote, be sensitive about your use of students' preferred names, preferred pronouns, and gender markers, and respectful of their privacy. Some students may not use these with their parents and whānau. So once again, Ministry of Education is telling schools and teachers to keep information secret from parents when, in fact, if a child is confused about their gender and is wanting to change their name or wanting to change their pronouns to zzer or they, them, or whatever they want, in fact, the ministry is saying, well, don't tell parents about it. And then the Ministry of Education refers to a resource, and of course it's Inside Out resource. And, you know, I mean, that's just adding fuel to the flame in terms of sending them off to radical groups. And, look, I think parents should be concerned by this. The interesting thing, Paul, is that according to the Birth, Deaths and Marriages Act, if you know, we've got this fanciful thing that you can change the gender sex on your birth certificate. But if you're under 16, you actually need parental consent to do that. And here we are. A child at school, could be in primary school, and they change their name and say they want to be identified as they, them, and they're non-binary or whatever, and parents can be excluded from it. I always think it's a huge red flag when the state interferes in the relationship between the child and the parent and excludes the parent. I've always been against that. Same with parental notification for vaccines, same for parental notification for abortions. You know, parents should be involved, whatever the situation. And, you know, to have a child that's confused about their gender and wanting to change their pronouns because of some program they've watched or pressure from other kids, it's, you know, it's just bad news. And the Ministry of Education should be treated with hostility.
Am I too simple in thinking that a phone call, okay, I'm the Minister of Education, I don't want this to carry on, I'm going to make a phone call to the DG, and this has got to stop tomorrow, otherwise I'm going to fire you.
Well, it's interesting because I think the Minister of Education was calling in the Associate Minister of Education to please explain about school lunches, you know, a few of them having a few late deliveries or a bit of burn or something, or somebody didn't like the rice that was in the can or some complaint. But here we have, once again, you know, a curriculum or advice to schools that goes against totally what we were promised would change. And I think is actually part of the reason that we got a change of government, because people were sick of this kind of agenda. You know, as we know with the United States election, it was one of the key messaging around this whole confusion around gender. And I think many people are watching Trump and the way that he has just taken a complete sword to the executive order on there's only two genders, male and female, two sexes, sorry, male and female, stop the radical stuff in schools, keep the dudes out of sports, women's sports. So they're observing a conservative politician actually fixing things. And then in New Zealand, well, they're not fixing it. They've sort of stopped it, but they've just left this void and the rot continues. And
no, but by their association and imagery and what they say and that reply on behalf of Luxon, presumably that was from one of his media people, that there seems to be an alignment with that way of thinking. Isn't it a tell? You mentioned the school lunches. Interesting point. So you can say all you like about school lunches, but crickets about the other thing. What possible political game could anyone be playing? There must be a perception that there is more loss for saying anything in this space than there is gain, which is possibly an inability to read the room. And if you can't read the room, maybe you shouldn't be running a country. But there's got to be some sort of explanation for this. Really keen to try and get to it, the nub of it.
Well, I think politicians are listening too much to the media, and the media set the narrative, and then politicians not only listen to the media, they kind of do their harm.
Well, that's a vanity thing, isn't it? Because
of course
the media,
it is, but it's also harm.
The trust is on the floor. The businesses are going broke. All the hosts are fake. I mean, come on. Hey, I'm not saying that to you, but, in response to that.
Yeah, but I think what worries me is that the politicians are a little bit scared of the media, and so they're concerned about the reaction they get. But look, the media are obsessed with it. I saw an analysis that showed that Radio New Zealand, your friends at Radio New Zealand, they've had a story every day for the last 2.5 weeks on school lunches, and they've also had about 18 audio commentaries on the radio as well. So they are just totally obsessed with this one issue, lunch in schools. How many stories have they had on the transgender issue, the latest research that has just come out from Texas University about the harms of transgender surgery? I mean, probably half your listeners haven't heard about it. Watch my latest McBlog and they will. But this is the problem. The media are actually setting the narrative, and the politicians, rather than being assertive and setting the narrative themselves, they're simply responding. And my message to the government, which is supposed to be a right-leaning conservative government, is set the narrative and stop responding to the hysterics of the media. But I think it's not only what the media is setting. I just think the government seems to be a bit scared about admitting the true background, culture, values of New Zealand. And of course, the classic example is also where Christopher Luxon came out with this lovely message for Ramadan, and where he talked about the holy month for Muslims and talked about a month of fasting and spiritual rejuvenation, and how there was reflection, devotion, charity, worship, fasting, prayers, acts of charity. So many words, empathy, humility, and resilience. And we actually looked at that message, and then we compared it with his Christmas message, which basically was, Merry Christmas, we've had a tough year, a tough one for a lot of people, and a better year than the last for so many. And he talked about the fact that he'd helped pack some boxes of food for those in need, but he refused to name who he did it with, which happened to be a Christian church, Elam Church in Botany. It's kind of like they just don't want to talk about the basic values of the country, and they want to just kowtow to either what the media is telling them or to any woke cause, and they just won't tackle some of these issues. I mean, that response to that caregiver who said, the caregiver says, I'm concerned that kids in preschool are saying they're not male or female, they're identifying as they, them, he, she, what's your response? And he just says, well, I'm a proud supporter of the LGBTI plus community. Now, in fairness, Paul, that letter would not have been written by Chris. He would have signed off a standard response. But the fact that his office completely just ignored the concerns of the letter and just fired off this form letter, I just think is a disrespect to the general voter who's concerned about this issue.
I might have missed it. Has he come out and said anything more? Like, that's not my personal view. Sorry, that was someone shooting off too early. No one consulted me. I would be on top of that immediately if I was him, just saying.
Well, we released this around social media. The problem is that the legacy media won't go near it because it's not a very nice narrative.
So if it doesn't appear there, no need to comment.
Yeah, once again, I think the politicians are just ignoring the chatter on social media, which is very strong and loud, and they just go with what the reporters are asking them at media conferences, and they're still stuck in this mindset that you only answer the questions from the officiard, and what's that word?
Aficionados.
Yeah.
I think.
And they've got to get beyond that, because I think they need to understand, like you said, is that a third of us, probably less than 30% of us, actually trust the mainstream media, and we're getting our source of information from various other places. And they need to have staff who are across all the platforms to find out what the chatter is. There's plenty of chatter around this tone-deaf response to the caregiver, and also about the whole problem with the relationship, sexuality, education, this big void, and parents being concerned. That's why I think there's growing resentment. I've actually, just before I came on, Paul, I put out a tweet just asking Christopher Luxon if I could find out where his greeting to those celebrating Ash Wednesday, because that's the start of a 40-day Lent period. It's a significant time for Christians. And I said, after your excellent message for Ramadan for Muslims, just wondering where your message for Ash Wednesday is. So let's see if they're monitoring that.
Well, he put a picture of his family out in pyjamas.
Yeah.
You might remember that. That was a little bit icky. Last question, because a lot of people have been sort of kind of talking about it. Do you think days are numbered for Christopher Luxon? A lot of people are saying that now. And this could be part of the demise, you know.
Yeah, I didn't think so a couple of weeks ago. I thought it was all just hot air. I thought people were just being mischievous. As I've just watched the polling, and I think Christopher Luxon's biggest opponent is not Chris Hipkins. I actually think Luxon's biggest opponent is Trump, because people are watching what a conservative politician actually does when they're voted in and given the mandate of the people. And we're not seeing that with Luxon. When people look at Luxon, unfortunately, they see it's just a soft approach, being nice, not answering questions in media interviews, talking about the business, which is fine, but not talking about some of these social issues that people were really concerned about, the social engineering being done by Labor, Greens and Te Pāti Māori. And then they look at what Trump's doing and is being quite clear about the promises being made and fixing some of these woke things. And yeah, so unfortunately for Luxon, Trump's his biggest enemy at the moment.
Bob, good to catch up with you again. Thanks for coming back on RCR. Bob McCoskrie, New Zealand Family First. We'll talk again soon, Bob.
All good. Thanks, Paul.